If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
And welcome to the HP Podcast. I'm Ben, and with me today is Dave. Hello, Dave. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm sorry. I have the equivalent to your train tracks that are running up and down upstairs right now because my baby is crying.
Okay. So you're saying your baby...
So you have the train tracks, which is when you just jump in.
Okay. Just make it...
Train tracks, mm-hmm. The train that run along the tracks.
I have tracks too.
And then I have the baby that will occasionally just make noises where I have to mute myself, but you threw to me literally right as the crying started. So
yeah,
it's in the show now. We're live. So
it is. We are live. There's no going back. The people who have seen it have seen it. We could delete it, but it will never die.
Yeah. I'm good though. I'm happy to be back at home base. I laughed because somebody in the Discord called it the piss filter where I was last week. So that's gone.
Yeah. It was a little yellow. Yeah, it really was.
I can't control it, but here we are. Such is life.
You think that's the lights? Is that the lights that does that?
Well, okay. So that's part of it.
Or is it the wall color?
The wall color too. But yeah, it was a combination of pitch, piss, light. Yeah. Just not the best place, but I was happy to be able to join you guys last week.
Yeah. Yeah. That was good. And I'm glad this week you didn't have to deal with any locked doors or anything.
Yeah.
You had to get a locksmith for Brandon Tuesday. The Most Glorious Ginger, have you had any experience with
not recently? Not recently, and I don't intend to. The only thing that's going to be locked is when I'm inside. Yeah. So,
okay, that's fair. So it kind of threw me off because before the show, right before we did the intro thing, Brandon, you were on top, and then we came back and Dave was on top. I think that was actually my fault.
Oh, okay. All right.
On the top of the screen.
Yeah, Brandon's normally a bottom.
I'm a power bottom.
Yeah, I have heard that.
just as much power as possible from the bottom. You can't even comprehend the power that I'm pushing from the bottom, fellas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His clenching skills are unmatched.
I've been practicing my male kegels all day for this show.
Brandon, today in our area was voting day.
I got my little sticker.
You went to vote?
I actually wasn't sure if I was going to be able to because the last one I voted in, apparently a lot more people vote for certain elections than others. And I found that out this time because I was expecting there to be a line and literally there was like triple the amount of workers than there was people. I literally walked in and was like, am I in the right fucking spot? Filled out my shit, got the sticker on my way. It couldn't have been more than 5 minutes, honestly.
Nice. Yeah. Now, Dave, I don't know if in Communist Canada you guys are able to vote or not, but if so, it's not today, right?
No, we voted for Supreme Leader Trudeau 2 or 3 years ago, so we'll vote for him again in another 2 years, I guess. But
I was thinking it was like a decade-long tenure or something.
When I was in university, I had this weird infatuation with funny graphic T-shirts, and there was this website that I got a couple of them from. I can't remember what it was called, but I had one that had just like a picture of Jesus and it said BRB, and I wore it once and somebody looked at me and they were like, oh, you go to church. That's great. Like they didn't know what the BRB meant. So I stopped wearing that. But anyways, there was another one that had Joseph Stalin on it and he just had an I voted pin on his shirt.
That's awesome, dude. That is awesome.
Yeah. Well, today we're going to talk about some video games. By the way, this is it's nice because no one asked me. Like, I used to be involved in politics, as a lot of people know, but Nobody asked me this time, like, hey, can you go hand out flyers for me? Or I think that's just by virtue of the fact that I don't have any more friends that are in that, in, you know, that, in that thing, the machine, as it were. So this year I just didn't even have to, like, matter of fact, the place where we vote is right across the street from my house, like literally across the street from my house. And I looked over there to make sure there was nobody, like nobody handing out flyers and stuff right outside the door. Cause I was like,
right,
I got to go when there's nobody over there. Cause I just don't even want to talk to anybody. I don't want to have the opportunity.
That's probably a net positive,
to be bothered though, by someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Nobody asked me, like, hey, I know it's, you know, actually this year was kind of nice, but like, it's 30 degrees. Could you go stand outside for 7 hours and hand out? I know that's important, and I'm very grateful for the people who did it for me in the past, and I've done it for other people in the past and stuff like that, but never again, if I can help it, you know? Never again.
Let's do it, man.
Guys, let's talk about some video games, I guess. Well, actually, let's first talk about Patreon. You can go support us if you want to over on patreon.com/handsomephantom.
Gotcha. Trick ya. You got to pay us to get more. No.
Patreon.com/handsomephantom. You can support us for as little as $1 a month if you would like. And if you are not able to do that, or you just don't want to do that, but you want to hang out with us still, you can do that here, of course, on YouTube live 7 p.m. on Tuesday nights Eastern. Of course, the show goes up for everybody else that's not here live on Thursday mornings. But if you want to hang out with us in Discord, you can go over to handsomephantom.com/discord. We appreciate everybody who hangs out there with us and tells Dave he has a piss filter, apparently. Let's start off talking about Fortnite OG. This thing popped off real big in the last week, and I'm interested to talk about it and get your guys' perspectives. Epic Games launched Fortnite OG, also known as Chapter 5 Season 1, on November 3rd. Since then, Fortnite has reached an all-time high in terms of player count. Epic announced on Twitter that a staggering 44.7 million players logged in on one single day, accumulating a total of 102 million hours of gameplay. This exceptional player count sets a new record and solidifies Fortnite's continued popularity. The game's widespread reach makes it a challenging for any other multiplayer titles to ever match, especially Call of Duty. We'll get into Call of Duty a little bit later. But boys, I wanted to get your initial impressions. Did either of you hop in? Dave, I don't think you've ever been a Fortnite boy, but I know Brandon,
oh, yeah,
you know, you get tempted every now and then.
Yeah, no, I was very tempted. And after seeing this number, I mean, this is almost like the population of Spain. So this is like an insane amount of people, just like truly gargantuan amount of people for a single day's worth of players. I just Googled it because I was curious. I was like, this has to be pretty close to like the numbers of some countries. No, I've been very tempted to hop in. But yeah, I just haven't yet. I don't know what it is. I'm probably because the boys haven't got together and hopped in yet. I feel like playing solos just isn't quite the same. And I think that if I would have had someone to play with, I probably would have already been in, locked into the OG, dropping tilted towers and dying in 0.5 seconds from touching the ground over and over again. But yeah, not quite yet. But this is truly just astronomical numbers. And this is, I don't know if you're going to talk about it, but it's coming off the back of having some of the craziest numbers I've ever seen and hearing some stuff about the Epic Store. Not that it goes exactly hand in hand, but it's kind of interesting to think about that they're having such a milestone, maybe one of the highest milestones that's ever been achieved by a video game in one day. But yeah, I've not dropped in yet, but I think I will before it's over.
Before we pitch it to Dave, just real quick, can you help me? It's the original map and all the original guns and stuff.
So
and mechanics,
it's,
right?
It's season one map, I think. It's right.
But it's still like in Unreal 5.
Correct.
And you can still play as
everything
like
is updated. There's mantling, there's sliding. So it's the normal Fortnite experience, just all in the new map with all of the old guns. So it's kind of like a cool throwback. Gotcha. And honestly, that's back when we were playing the game quite a bit. So I feel like it would be kind of cool to kind of just hear the sounds again. But you haven't jumped in yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
The sounds of our youth. Dave, Fortnite, are you going to get your victory royale this weekend?
I was tempted. So my like Monday to Friday 9 to 5 streamer that I normally watch, his name is Leopard. He's a Destiny streamer, but he's been playing it since Thursday. And just watching him makes me want to jump in, and I've played Fortnite a couple times, but what I love about this is just kind of like the big brain strategy here. So I'm assuming Epic was looking at the release calendar and being like, we need to release a new season sometime in like September to November. And it's like, oh, there's going to be so many other good things coming out around that time. It's going to be so hard to compete and get people to kind of jump back or want to jump back into Fortnite. And they come up with this, well, what will cost the least amount of money is just reusing stuff we've already have. Like this was like a no development kind of thing. So I like how they went this route and just kind of appealed to nostalgia. And I suspect they weren't, you know, kind of forecasting that it was going to be this much of a success, but here we are. we're a couple days away from multiplayer of COD dropping, and you know, everybody's playing Fortnite and everybody's talking about Fortnite. So it's really blew up for them. So it's really cool. And yeah, if you guys jump in, I would love to join you as a resident greenhorn.
Where are we dropping, boys? And this is also really interesting. I bet you any money Call of Duty is looking at this and saying, we haven't had numbers like this in one day ever. I don't think they have. I really don't. Like, this seems like just truly insane. And they're thinking about Verdansk. I bet you any money. I bet you it's already in the works.
They're like, wait, we just recycled the entire
difference.
Game.
Why there's a huge difference is the price tag of free is so much more consumable than the price tag of $70. And even if it was $70 and you made it abundantly clear that this was lesser of an experience and not kind of like, I don't know, lied almost in some ways or tried to be deceptive about it, it's really interesting. And I bet you any money after this news, we are going to see Verdansk back quickly. And Verdansk is in the Call of Duty campaign. I mean, it's all over the campaign. It's most of the campaign. I don't know if we're going to get into it in the show, but literally it's...
Well, let's do it now. So, yeah, I don't really have this in the show. Like, there was no news other than the game sucks, which I could have called. But just here in the Fortnite discussion,
sure.
Let's also talk about Call of Duty and what they're doing so differently.
I just think there's a huge difference, as I said, with like the price tag and the just the transparency. I mean, it's just like OG, like it's marketed to be an original thing, not some sort of new thing. And I feel like Call of Duty is doing the opposite. It's not marketing itself as an add-on to the next game. It's marketing itself as the third iteration of a series that's been running for years now. The Call of Duty campaign is coming out to almost unanimous, how would I say this? What's the opposite of praise?
Negativity.
Unanimous ass.
Shit talk.
It's coming out to unanimous booty cheeks. one of the lowest scores of a modern Call of Duty, maybe the lowest score of any Call of Duty ever by IGN, which not that I put too much weight into what they say, but it is noteworthy because they're one of the biggest, you know, entities in America as far as video games go. It's short. It's lackluster and not full of content. Most of the game is, like I said, points of interest in Warzone that they just put some more characters in. And I keep forgetting to mention this. In the campaign, there's no new weapons that I've seen. I'm pretty sure all of the multiplayer weapons. So it literally beat for beat for beat. And we talked about it last week, how even the consoles recognize it as the last game, but the campaign itself doesn't have any of the new weapons. Like, it's not even being masked well, you know? And it's just, it's such a slap in the face. And I'm so grateful that I took this challenge this year. I think I would have not been persuaded either way, but yeah, this is a new low that I actually didn't think they were ballsy enough to try and pull something off like this. And they absolutely are. They absolutely are.
Dave, I feel like when you go from, you know, we never got an official confirmation, but we had some pretty good sources telling us like, hey, there's not going to be another Call of Duty next year. They're taking a year off. When you go from that to at some point during that year, we are going to put out another Call of Duty game. I feel like the only thing you can do is just slap it together from assets you already have and then put it in last year's wrapper and mess up the trophies. Like, it just seems logical to me.
Yeah. And I mean, you're right. This time last year, we were talking about how, you know, Call of Duty was doing the right thing by taking a year off and we assumed there was going to be some sort of new content that was going to come out in, you know, now. And I suspect the plan was to release maybe some sort of small campaign and some new maps around this time for Modern Warfare 2. But then somebody at Activision said a very Activision thing and said, why don't we just charge full price for this? People will buy it. And they're right. I mean, we're talking about the campaign, which is the least important part of any Call of Duty package. And the maps are all recycled and the guns are going to be recycled for a long time, but people are going to pay full price. And the problem is Activision knows it. So, why are we charging $40 or $50 for this when we can charge, you know, $70 or $80? So I don't know. If I would never be the type of person to tell people to boycott something, but what I will say is if you were looking to take a year off, like I am, and Brandon, as far as I know, is, because you'd like to focus on Golem, this is probably a good year to do it, because I think Modern Warfare 3 is being exposed as, you know, they're trying to charge you full price for something that was not full price effort from a development standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. There's still lots of people playing Vanguard. I'm looking forward to jumping back into that. There's still lots of people playing Modern Warfare 2. That's a good thing about Call of Duty is, like, if you have a past game, there's a good chance that there's people still playing and you can jump in and find a full lobby. So, yeah, I don't like this at all, but I also know that millions of people are still going to buy this game. And, you know, the Call of Duty streamers are going to love it for 6 weeks like they always do and then start bitching about it in January. So,
and what's also really unique about this is even a lot of people who are like Call of Duty apologists, I've been seeing talk poorly of it so far, which has been really interesting because usually the discourse and the machine starts to kick up and everybody profits when these games do well. That's how the hype machine builds. You know, these people make money by hyping it up and getting people on the train and getting people to watch it. So I understand why expectations get so inflated, but this time, unlike other years, I'm seeing negative discourse prior to 4 months after launch. And that's kind of a unique position that has not been established in the past couple Call of Duties. Usually the negative discourse starts happening season one, season two, you know, and so on. But we're kind of getting this bad press, so to speak, instantly, which is definitely not normal for Call of Duty.
I think, you know, Brandon, I just got to sneak this in, but I think that's part of the problem too, is because there are so many Call of Duty content creators out there on YouTube, on Twitch, and if the game is shit, they can't just go and play another game,
right?
Because all of their audience leaves. So they're trapped in a point too where they can't just dunk on the game for 12 months. Like, they have to find ways to keep their audience engaged because people just won't watch them play Halo or something like that. So I don't know. It's just kind of a vicious cycle. But if the sales dip and there's new leadership, then hopefully they see this and say, okay, guys, we got to put a little bit more effort in because that sales curve has got to be, you know, kind of plateauing. But yeah, it's a sad, sad state for 2023 Call of Duty. So please don't buy it.
You know who isn't upset about the state of Call of Duty? Xbox.
Oh, no.
And I'm not talking about just regular Xbox fans. We're all Xbox fans.
Dude, I have an Xbox.
Brandon actually isn't, but the other two, I know. But we like Xbox, but I have never seen a crowd of people so, even when Redfall came out, and still, like, most of the console warriors you see online were like, yeah, this game's shit. Sorry. Like, even the Xbox tried and true were like, yeah, it's not good. But with Call of Duty, for some reason, they're like attacking people who are giving it a bad score for the campaign, which they don't even care about because it's now a Microsoft property. So therefore, the only reason you could possibly dislike, I don't understand console warriors at all. I never have. I hope I never do. I do understand it. They're idiots. But other than
you got it, Ben. You hit the nail on the head there.
Let's hit a few of these comments in the chat here. Lockmore says, is this the Hi-Fi Rush hate watch?
Yes. No Hi-Fi Rush here. No Hi-Fi Rush hate here.
Dave loves Hi-Fi Rush.
And I played it from start to finish. Just full disclosure.
That's right. What else we got here? Lockmore also snarkily says, if Fortnite keeps growing, they'll reach the 10K Halo number soon. Locke is upset. as I think many people are, because everybody's talking about how Halo's making this giant comeback and it's like still struggling to get past 10K on Steam. And I don't blame them. Derek O says, my roommate is playing Fortnite right now. He used to play every night, but hasn't touched it in like a year, but he's back. And then he says, they got him. Ash says, when was the last year a new Call of Duty wasn't released? It was sometime early 2000s, right?
Like,
it's been yearly since Modern Warfare, right?
It's been a good while. Boys, yeah. I'm saving myself $70 this year, and I'm just playing this year because it's the same map. So I'm just going to play this, and I'm going to save myself 70 whole dollars by playing my original Xbox 360 copy of Modern Warfare 2.
Nice, dude. Well, congrats on that. Well, let's move on. We're still going to talk about Epic for a little bit. Talk about Epic versus Google, David versus Goliath, I suppose. Epic Games has initiated a legal battle with Google in a San Francisco court. The gaming company accuses Google of acting as a monopoly by imposing a 30% commission on in-app purchases through the Google Play Store. Epic Games claims that Google has strayed from its "Don't be evil" motto, coined when the company was founded in 1998. Google, however, argues that there are numerous other methods to download apps on Android phones, asserting that it competes with Apple and denying allegations of monopolistic behavior. This case adds another antitrust challenge to Google, which is already defending itself against a similar lawsuit filed by the U.S. Justice Department in Washington. Epic Games made comparable arguments when it took Apple to court in 2021. In that case, the judge ruled that ruled against Apple being a monopoly, but permitted apps to direct users away from Apple's in-app charges. Epic argues that Google has eliminated competition in the distribution of Android apps through contractual and technical barriers, while Google maintains that Android offers more app distribution competition than any other platform. By the way, there is really only one other platform. It's really funny to me when people are like, well, we're not a monopoly. There's another guy who's pretty much a monopoly. Ew, we're the same. Anyway, Dave, we talked a lot about, of course, Epic's fight against Apple, Tim Apple specifically. And now Epic is on to fight the big bad Google monster. Is this going to turn out any different? Isn't it the same case?
Yeah, it kind of seems like an ongoing drama, and it's the monopolistic comments right off the bat are a bit odd, because I mean, I think Google Play is hardly the biggest hitter when it comes to purchasing mobile apps, especially in North America, because Apple is dominant. So it's just an odd claim, and Epic sounds like they have kind of a previous bone to pick here, but I don't know, 30% does seem a bit excessive to me and a bit evil, especially since, you know, that app store, the Google Play Store, just acts as, you know, a digital kind of intermediary. But like Steam is an example, it takes 30% as well. Its percentages are scaled, though. So, I mean, if you're a smaller game developer and you don't have the same volume as like Call of Duty as example, then you're not going to pay 30%. You'll pay 25% or 20% or whatever it might be. So
I don't know if that's true.
I did look this up before, and maybe I'll need to do a little bit more sleuthing, but from what I understand, it scales down to 25% depending on your sales on Steam.
I need to get on
sure.
that because it's, I
it's,
work
it's irrelevant Steam, to this because
we do not pay 25%.
The point anyway, I'm trying to make is right. is it It, as far as I can see, it seems in line with the industry standard. And I know we're talking about in-app purchases versus full game sales, but I think the point is it's pretty clear here that Epic has an agenda. They've got a bone to pick. They've got an axe to grind with Google. And it's also weird hearing Epic, you know, throwing these stones at Google, saying, you know, you're not supposed to be that evil company, but Epic isn't really a squeaky clean kind of company itself when it comes to, you know, marketing in-app purchases to young children and collecting data unknowingly and stuff like that. So I don't know. These are just two big businesses fighting, and I suspect Google will come out on top, but it's Epic doesn't really look like it's taking the high road here. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out for sure.
Brandon, do you remember a little while back when Epic like lowered all of their amounts that people had to pay them, their royalties and everything? And if you're using Unreal, I think you don't have to pay anything for a while. I forget the exact specifics, but like, was that all just granted? It's still good. A good thing is good no matter what your intention is, in my opinion. So like the developers that are benefiting from that, it's still good for them. But did they only do that so that they could have more stuff to argue against, like Apple and Google.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably
case that they're trying to go.
Yeah, it's probably lip service. But I just think it's hilarious and kind of awesome for, you know, the consumer, for a person like me to see these huge companies fighting and bickering. I loved when Epic did it to Apple, and I'm it's kind of funny seeing them kind of, you know, flex their big company muscles trying to make things right, but we all know it's self-motivating in the end. So yeah, very interesting to see them try again, essentially, with another astronomical company. Not that Epic is small by any means, but I don't know many companies that would be doing this at this point. So it's kind of confusing to me from a business stance, because I don't think there is much ground for them to stand on, as we kind of saw in the previous iteration of a similar trial. But yeah, it's a lot of Epic news, a lot of strange Epic news. Epic is like either very evil and kind of good at hiding it sometimes, or yeah, that's probably it actually. Yeah. So, very interesting. And I do love Google's motto. I really wonder if "don't be evil" is still on every wall in every bathroom or something in the company. So
yeah. Yeah. I think right around the time they started selling all of your data to, other countries and, yeah, tech companies and stuff, and using AI, probably.
What is it like? Don't be less, and then like very tiny and like 1-point lettering. Don't be that evil. Like, don't be very evil. Just be, right, you know.
Yes. Don't actually kill people on purpose because they are a different color than you. Oh, that's okay. Like what their actual full model it, is. Got it. Yeah.
Gotcha. But it was,
they just shortened it.
It's more digestible. Yeah.
So we'd all be, yeah. Yeah, they're not that evil.
Well, I mean, that does fit on a shirt way better. So,
yeah, that's a good point.
Merchandising.
You gotta think about the merchandising. All right, let's move on. This one, this one's the one I was actually the most interested in, but it wasn't the biggest headline. Javi or Javi. I know a person with the same spelling, J-A-V-I, who pronounces it Javi.
Is it Javi?
I'm gonna say Javi. It's. It looks like Javi. The person I know says Javi.
Okay. I just thought it was Javi.
Are you serious?
J-A-V-I. Totally, I don't know if you got it wrong. I looked at
It just depends on where
they're
from.
I looked at that name and that, yeah, last name, and I just assumed it was Javi. Javi Lopez.
You know what? Let's just say
J-Dog.
Lopez. Okay. J-Lo.
Oh, shit.
J-Lo has created a video game. Shit, dog. J-Lo has created a video game called Angry Pumpkins, reminiscent of the popular 2010 title Angry Birds. Using AI-powered tools like Midjourney, ChatGPT, and DALL-E 3, Lopez, J-Lo, used ChatGPT to generate an interactive version of the game, resulting in 600 lines of code. He then refined the generated code, added particle effects and objects. Midjourney was used for creating objects, background images, and characters, while DALL-E 3 powered the intro screen. The game allows players to create their own levels using on-screen instructions. This showcases how AI tools like ChatGPT and Midjourney can potentially reduce cost and save time in game development, or entirely destroy the world. The thumbnail for this episode, I was like writing up the show notes, and I thought, wouldn't it be kind of fun just to see what happens? I'm just going to type all the topics, and I only typed in like 3 topics. I think I typed in, actually, here's my exact prompt. Create a YouTube thumbnail for a podcast where they discuss Fortnite, Spider-Man, and Game Pass.
It looks pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie.
Is it already in the Discord?
It's on YouTube.
It was on the YouTube page.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I guess you can see it in the Discord too. But that's what it pumped out. Like, just with that was the only thing I input. And it pumped out something, you know, not bad. It certainly, you can, if you look at it closely, you can see
Dollar
some
General Peter Parker on the front. He looks.
It's not Dollar General. It's got to be at least like Five Below.
Right? Peter Parker.
Oh my god!
Like, it's Five Below. Like, the classy cheap place, dude. When I was a kid, I used to go to Dollar Tree, and then we go to Family Dollar, and I always thought, like, there's a dollar in the name. It Dude, should be a true. Dollar. But at Family Dollar...
I was
seeing
shit for like 30 bucks there the other day.
It's not true.
I swear to God. I was like, Dollar General, what the fuck am Dollar I General, doing yeah. here?
Yeah. They're selling warranties now at the cash register.
So anyway...
Yeah, guys, sure.
Let's start off with you, Brandon. We'll just keep going back and forth here. Sure. Whole game, simple as it may be, and obviously using much of the information from a previous game, very much like it. What do you think about, like, could this be the next?
Yeah, unfortunately, I think you're probably right method? There. I think that we're going to see this, but ultimately, I don't think there is any true replacement for a human being, at least not yet. I think that something... When we're talking about AI in general, I think it's important to remember that, at least for me, I think these are great supplemental tools to make things, to make art, to have ideas, to brainstorm. But I don't think, and I hope that we don't get to a point where it is as good as a human. I mean, I still think we are kind of far off from that, even though we've made great leaps, even in the past 2 or 3 years in what these programs can do. And obviously, I mean, making a game, that's pretty fucking cool. I don't think a year or two ago that would have even been possible. But... for me, I think that these things are ultimately cool, but really should serve as a tool and less of a end to a means almost. So to see an entire game was made in this sort of thing and that it could help you make different levels in a game. Yeah, sure. That's really cool. But I feel like there has to be more value in a game than just what a computer is able to make solely. Because there really is no soul in this sort of thing. And I feel like that is probably pretty apparent. Although a lot of AAA games come out with about 0% soul in them, even when people do work on them. So I guess that's kind of a different problem. But yeah, kind of a strange world we live in nowadays. But I'd be interested in at least checking it out, if nothing else.
Dave, well, first, your opinion on AI in games, and I'll ask you the follow-up.
Well, it's just like the internet. It's just the latest fad. It'll be gone in a couple of months, and we'll be talking about something else. But it's I don't know. I actually checked out this game on a browser, and it is like, if I hadn't read the story, I would have just thought it was like an Angry Birds Halloween level. Because it's literally Angry Birds. So,
right.
I got to echo what Brandon said. I said that reluctantly. Okay. I don't know why. I love agreeing with Brandon. But that came out reluctantly. Okay. But I didn't mean it to, is what I'm saying. I wouldn't be too worried about like this in gaming. I do think, you know, we look at shovelware sometimes, and I think people may use AI in kind of a shitty way when it comes to that. But, you know, most people don't buy games like that. So... I don't know. I really wouldn't be too worried because, like, I think for the gaming industry, AI will allow developers to remove some of the more tedious grunt work. I'm thinking about things like coding and stuff like that. That could result in some lost positions, but at the end of the day, when it comes to creative ideation and direction, that still, I think, is going to reside with a human being. So, like, AIs aren't going to create the next Horizon Zero Dawn game or something like that. Like those still require, you know, a lot of creativity, and that's still a very human thing. What this story made me wonder is like, what jobs are AI going to create? So, you know, if you have an AI that's suddenly doing all your coding and placing all your textures for you and, you know, putting together some architecture when it comes to level design or whatever it is, you know, what new positions kind of come with that when it comes to creating a video game? Because somebody has to tell the AI what to do, and somebody has to look at what the AI's done and review it and refine it. So that's what's more interesting to me, is like a lot of people are worried about what you know, sacrifices are going to come from AI or what it's going to kill, but what opportunities are going to come with it, because there's always new opportunities. So it'll be interesting to see how making a video game kind of changes in the next 20 years with AI, because I think it's a tool that should be used, but nothing to be scared of. And, you know, J-Lo's Angry Pumpkins definitely isn't evidence of that. So check it out if you like. It's pretty shitty. You'll just want to play Angry Birds after that. So,
yeah. Yeah. It's interesting because even though AI did most of the heavy lifting here, like you said, somebody still had to program it and everything, there was still work that needed to be done to turn it into a game. So like there was still, it's not like you can just entirely do it by itself yet, but it's not far away from being able to do that. But here's the question I want to pose to both of you and even myself. This is a purely theoretical, psychological, what's the word? A purely theoretical question. We all know right now that we don't really like the idea of AI coming in and building games because there's no heart and soul in it and it's lacking something. But hypothetically, if we get to a point where there is literally no difference, an AI can do it exactly as well as a human can do it. Don't just give me the answer you think we all want to give. Give the real answer. Would it matter to you? Would you still say, I don't want to play that game because it was made by AI, even though it's indistinguishable? Or would you say, yeah, just as good?
I mean, if it's indistinguishable, Brandon, I guess I wouldn't mind. I don't know. I feel like people have more of a problem with the philosophical nature of all of this than the practical nature of it. And yeah, I guess if it was no different, I mean, hell, what Dave said. I mean, if it can scrub code and make a game better, that's a net positive as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I don't know. That's a really interesting question, Ben. I don't think it would make a difference to almost anybody, to be honest, because we pay for games that are not made by AI, like I said earlier, and are bad. So if there was a better version of a game that was made by AI and somehow had no distinguishable properties from something that was made by a human, then I guess, yeah, people probably wouldn't care because they pay for dog shit that is made by humans. So why would it make a difference to anyone, including myself, I suppose?
Dave,
so
would you play a game indistinguishable from a human-made game if it was AI?
I'd play it. I think the question is, would I buy it or would I choose it over a game that I knew was kind of made by a human being? And I would say I would definitely lean to a game that is made by a human. Because like even when I'm playing something like an Assassin's Creed game, like I'm thinking about all of the effort that went into, you know, researching what Baghdad looked like 1,000 years ago. And I'm appreciating that effort. And, you know, we have this argument of our game's art and we've had it for a long time. And I think in this context, it's important to look at a video game like art. I'm thinking about a game like Gris. And the reason why I'm so blown away by a game like Gris, whatever it's pronounced as, is like, that game is so expressive and interesting and like, you know, thought evoking. And I think somebody dreamt this or somebody thought of this game when they were sitting by a pond one day or doing something, you know, and it just, this idea came to them. Yeah. Or that. And even that's something that's interesting to think about as you're experiencing it. And if you don't have that sort of thought in the back of your mind that, you know, somebody like me put this effort into this, then I think it changes the experience. So I know it's a hypothetical question, but generally speaking, I would pick a game, even if the AI game was 10 cents and the human made game was $90, I would still err towards the one that felt like it was more of a creation from a human being rather than not. It's the same thing.
But for 10 cents, wouldn't you try it out?
For 10 cents, would I try it out? It
depends. Yeah, I mean, come on. It's 10
cents. But yeah, I don't know. It's we're going to talk about this more. And when I think we're starting to see it now, but like when an article says this was generated by an AI or in part, I don't want to read that article. And yeah. And so we're already kind of seeing things like this, but
yeah. Trash says if it can make Angry Birds, it will be making Mario soon. Something to think about.
Nintendo's lawyers are like quivering right now.
Nintendo's lawyers are like, how do we kill an AI?
Sorry, can we just highlight Ash's message there?
That was going to be the next
AI
one.
AI was not required to make Hi-Fi Rush a 10 out of 10. Hi-Fi Rush was born God. A 12 out of 10.
Here's the thing. Hi-Fi Rush may very well be a 10 out of 10, but AI could actually play it and synthesize the reasons why it's a 10 out of 10 better than most of the people claiming it should be game of the year because they didn't freaking play it.
I love all this discourse, and because I didn't know about this before we started, we came on today, but you guys gave me a little background, so this is fun. I love all the Hi-Fi Rush talk.
Yeah. Oh, I love, I think Hi-Fi Rush is great. I didn't finish it myself. It's fine. I just know that some of the people talking about it being goaty didn't play more than that. Didn't play it. They just didn't play it. Moving on. Another layoff conversation. Ubisoft has laid off 124 individuals, primarily from its Canadian studios, go figure, Canada, as part of a restructuring effort. The move affects approximately 2% of the Canadian workforce. Just to clarify, I didn't write this clearly. That's 2% of the Canadian Ubisoft workforce, not the entire Canadian workforce. Sorry about that. With those impacted working in business administrative services and IT teams across the hybrid VFX studio in Montreal, and the global IT team. Ubisoft mentioned that these are challenging decisions, that they are providing support for those affected. Production teams are not impacted by this restructuring. Ubisoft has previously undergone multiple rounds of layoffs this year. I think they've laid off like 1,000 people in the last 12 months. Canceled projects and significantly delayed titles, such as Skull and Bones. Before we move on, I want to say that my buddy Frankie left a comment on the video last week and said the only game that, something like, the only game that has saved, let me start over. The only reason Sea of Thieves is not the worst pirate game this year is because Skull and Bones exists, or something like that. Basically saying Sea of Thieves is rough, but Skull and Bones is still somehow worse, even though
it's not out yet.
I don't know what there is more to say about layoffs, guys, yeah. But it's news. Like, we're going to talk about it to some extent, I guess. Especially with it being Ubisoft, Dave, it not only affects Ubisoft, your favorite brand, but it affects Canada, your favorite country. So what do we do with this information?
Yeah, I know it's this is a crisis. I think it's more of the same as what we talked about last week. The cost of doing business has gone up, and layoffs are going to happen. I do think it's important to note that Montreal is Ubisoft's biggest studio. And I think I can't, don't quote me here, but I from what I've seen from Ubisoft, it appears that they've started to open smaller studios across the world in Asia and Europe, and kind of decentralized a little bit. And we've also seen them kind of spread their bigger projects across several studios rather than just, you remember when Assassin's Creed first started coming out, like 1 year it would be Montreal, and next year it would be like one of their French studios, and then another year it'd be one of the Asian studios. I think what they're doing now is they're chopping the games up and spreading them across studios, so they're made by multiple. So I think this is just part of their overall decentralization strategy. And the people that were laid off were mostly support people and not production people. That doesn't make it good, but I don't think it's necessarily a time to start raising alarm bells about Ubisoft. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think they've always had, you know, one of the divisions would take the lead and the other ones would be going off for support. But now it definitely seems to be more evenly spread out amongst different studios. Brandon,
I was going to say about
layoffs. Layoffs.
He's kind of, you know,
talking about layoffs?
Beat the horse into a pulp at this point as far as the layoffs go this year. And I guess no company is safe, not even our beloved Ubisoft. But yeah, sad to see, but you know, it kind of is what it is. This year is the year for layoffs, it seems. And the year's not even over yet, boys. So I would even expect more, to be honest with you. I know there's going to be more. Dude, don't do it around the holidays. Please just get it done before. I know those fuckers.
That's when they do it. Yeah. It's already what most people would consider around the holidays, even though,
you know,
come on, give it 2 weeks.
Man.
But yeah, I agree. Let's get off this subject and on to a more inane one. Starting Monday, November 13th, PlayStation integration with Twitter, or X, will end for PS5 and PS4. This means users won't be able to directly upload screenshots and video clips from the console to Twitter. While this feature's removal may disappoint those who use it frequently, and there are quite a few, there are alternative methods. PS5 users can utilize the PlayStation mobile app to upload gameplay captures, while PS4 users can use Share Factory. This move follows a similar decision made by Microsoft in April, which also disabled direct sharing to Twitter from Xbox consoles. This comes after a change to the API and all sorts of other technical jargon that I don't really understand, and costs associated with Twitter trying to actually make some money for once in their lives. And so, you know, Sony and Microsoft are just like, yeah, we're not going to pay that. We don't need to pay that. But Brandon, Dave, have either of you really ever used this functionality to directly share social media? So neither have I. So none of the three of us have, but I know, I just see it on my feed all the time, like, you know, PlayStation Share, whatever. People are sharing stuff directly from it. Dave, is this an issue, or are we just going to be resilient like gamers are, you know, how we fight the fight and find a way around it?
See, I'm surprised to hear you say that you see it a lot. And I'm not really on Twitter anymore, but this felt like the sort of thing where it just didn't really need to be there. And I suspected Sony shut it down because it probably wasn't getting the use that it needed to. It reminded me of the launch of the Xbox One, where I think gamers kind of sent a message to hardware makers that our gaming consoles just need to play games. They don't need to be hooked up to our satellite. They don't need to be internet browsers. They don't need to have Facebook and MySpace and all that stuff. MySpace, shut up. But it's
just never like,
yeah, like, you know, you can put that stuff in, and it's at the end of the day, trying to navigate that stuff with a controller is just not the best way to do it. So, yeah. Plus, is this another case of, you know, a big company trying to distance themselves from Madman Musk, because he's getting kind of weird. But yeah, I don't know. So neither of you guys used it, really?
No, and I don't think it's companies trying to get a distance from them, because they're clearly still using and posting on their platform as companies. I think it's really just a matter of cost.
Yeah.
And what does it benefit
just
them,
again, I don't think a lot of people are using it at the end of the day. So what's the point of maintaining it? You know what it was is Twitter changed its logo, and they went to like upload the new X logo, and they're like, why are we even doing this?
No, I think I don't remember how much it is, but I think I saw like $500,000 dollars a year or something like that, just to have that integration. And I did see that somebody was reporting on it, and Elon, who owns Twitter or X, stepped in and was like, I'm going to take a look at this. Like, he wasn't aware that that was going to be a big problem for giant holders like that. Maybe he wasn't aware. Maybe he was, and he was just trying to play the good guy. I'm not sure, but he seems to know about it now either way.
Yeah, that's it, man.
I guess that's all we got to say about that. Let's talk about Game Pass editions. And we don't always talk about these, and we definitely don't always talk about them for PlayStation, but I don't know. I need something to fill out the show, I guess. Game Pass editions for this month available now: Thirsty Suitors, Football Manager 2024, and also for console. That's for console, PC, cloud, all that. On November 9th, Dungeons 4. On November 9th as well, Like a Dragon: Gaiden, The Man Who Erased His Name. November 9th as well, through the Xbox Game Pass Ultimate connection with EA Play, whatever it's called, Wild Hearts is coming to Game Pass. Spiritia, however it's really pronounced, November 13th. November 14th is Coral Island. November 17th is Persona 5 Tactica. November 28th is Roller Drome. Boys, starting with Dave, is there are any of these strike your fancy?
The Yakuza game. And can either of you explain to me, this is where we need Phil, because he's big into the series, rest in peace. But so they've now like diverged the Yakuza series, where there's Like a Dragon. And we had that a game earlier this year that it was kind of a re-release of a game that came in a long time. Like a Dragon Ishin, I think it was called. Mm-hmm. Can either of you explain this bridging? Because I don't fully understand it. One of them is going to be an action game, and the other is going to be more of a strategy kind of thing.
Well, I'm going to explain this, and I'm going to do it wrong. Okay. But I'm going to do my best work at it. You've got the Yakuza mainline games.
Right.
And then within that, you've got like all the Yakuza games, and then some of them have been remade and brought forward. And those are, they have a different name on them. Somebody in chat's going to tell us. I don't know. And then they They've kind of split the next like evolution of the games with the Yakuza mainline games into the Like a Dragon games, which are now based around a different character, and they're turn-based. And then you've also got the spinoff made by the same company in the same universe, basically the same game, but totally different, of Judgment. And now there's, I think, multiple of the, there are multiple of those as well. So there are no more Yakuza games. There's Like a Dragon, and those are so far at least turn-based, more turn-based oriented. And then you've got the Judgment games, which I think are, I don't even know. I haven't played them. I can't comment on them.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That sounded correct to me. Good job, Ben.
Yeah, I mean, sounds correct to me too, but what do I know?
No.
Brandon, you've never been a Yakuza guy. Not. Are you going to start now?
There's too many of them. I'm just overwhelmed. But I am potentially interested in trying out Wild Hearts. I did try the demo before it brutally kicked me out. Yeah. And kept running my game time for the demo until I couldn't get back in, and then the demo was over. So I might actually get a chance to try out Wild Hearts before they put a bullet in its head here in about, I don't know, 8 months or something like that. I want to check that out as a Monster Hunter fan, just because it seemed akin in many ways. That and Rollerdrome, I did try the demo for that as well. There was a time demo the day Rollerdrome came out. Yeah. I'm not going to like stop playing something else to play it, but because it's on Game Pass, I mean, it's one of those things where I might hop in, try a couple rounds. It was fun to, you know, fucking essentially be Tony Hawk doing tricks, but with guns and rollerblades. So that's about it, man. I'm honestly not too familiar with a lot of these. Those two definitely stood out though.
Yeah, I'm very interested in Rollerdrome. I was not interested in buying it at whatever price, $40 or whatever price it was when it came out on PlayStation. There was just too much else around it, but you throw it on Game Pass, I can try it for 30 minutes, and if I hate it, I don't have to play it again. I didn't lose anything. If I love it, great. I get to keep playing it. So that's definitely one I'll at least be downloading and checking out from the old Game Pass. So the other one we didn't mention that I actually made that AI generated thumbnail with in mind was the Spider-Man news. The only thing that there really was, I don't have this even in the notes, is that that Miles is going to be going forward as Insomniac's like main Spider-Man. So to get you guys' thoughts on that. I know, Dave, you haven't played Spider-Man 2 yet. Peter doesn't die. I'm sorry. I know that's shocking that they wouldn't kill off Spider-Man, but that's not the reason. But what do you guys think about, you know, Miles becoming the new face, the new Spider-Man, really?
Yeah, the main Spider-Man. Having played the game, it's kind of like, to me, it was apparent even before hearing this news, having played the game, that there was kind of like nods to this happening multiple times, subtly and not so subtly in the game. Yeah, this is good. I love Miles. To be honest with you, I probably like Miles more than Peter Parker. I would say Spider-Man 2 kind of turned me around a little bit to Peter, having not played the first game as much as Miles or 2. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But this is good. Miles is a really good character, and I love what they've done with him in the past couple games. So,
yeah. Dave.
Yeah, I agree. I haven't played Spider-Man 2, but I played Spider-Man 1 and Miles Morales, and I'm fine with either of them. The game's still going to be fantastic, and the good thing is with either one, you're going to get, from a gameplay perspective, pretty much the same experience. So, yeah, I like this. I like Miles. So, yeah, keep going. Plus, we've seen like 1,000 Spider-Man games over the years, so it's nice that we'll get a slightly different approach to the stories and stuff like that. Yeah. So, I like that, too.
Yeah. All right, boys, let's move into what we've been playing.
Sure. Yeah, Brandon, so let's start off with, I'll kind of hop off the back of that conversation. I'm still playing Spider-Man. I beat the game, and I am, I think, 2 trophies away from the platinum. I didn't look at the trophy list. I probably should have. The 2 trophies I have left are combat related. Somehow I managed to not get these in my playthrough. And I wish I had, because they would have been exceptionally easier to complete after not having completed literally everything else. So go ahead.
Brandon, let me guess what they are.
No.
Stealth takedowns?
No, I did that like the whole game.
What? Really? Okay. Okay. And the other one is using a specific power when
that
in a specific
one,
mode.
And there's an, yeah, okay. There's another one that is very similar to that one, Ben. Those are the only 2 that I have left.
I
cleaned up everything else. But gotta say, man, this game, I talked a little bit last week about how I thought it was a little bit too squeaky clean, so to speak. And Ben said, you just wait. And boy, was he right. So, yeah, just, a lot of surprises in this game, to be honest with you. A lot of the story, I kind of almost predicted line for line what was going to happen, but some of the stuff really did throw me for a bit of a loop. I wasn't expecting some of it, and that was kind of cool to see. And yeah, just can't talk highly enough about this game. They really... there was a big iteration in gameplay. I never felt like any moment to moment I was getting any less of the great experience that it is. So top tier as far as I'm concerned, and we'll be getting the platinum by next week. I'm positive of it. So just a little bit of cleanup, boys.
Nice. While you're on that, Brandon, I just wanted to jump in and say, I think last week I said, when we recorded last week, I said I was going to finish it that night. I did. And over the next night or two, I ended up going and getting the platinum. I think I had three or four, something like that, trophies left at the end. I also did not. I did look to make sure there were no missable trophies.
That's literally all I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And once I realized there's no missable trophies, I'm like, I'm not looking at any kind of guide, anything at all. And I never did, even through the end there. So, that was
for sure
a great experience, I'll say. My chest is itchy right here, but I think it's internal. I'm dying, guys. Something's
venom.
Like there's, I'm just like.
We checked out the finals, Ben and I, and our friend Justin. We had played the closed beta and had a pretty good time, and I gotta say that the open beta was just as good. They added some more things, albeit cosmetics, but also some other interesting. A different map, a different mode, some really cool things. And we actually really enjoyed the other mode. I think we almost exclusively played the mode that wasn't in the closed beta and had a lot of fun. I know I did, at least. So really looking forward to this game. They don't have an official release window. Well, they have an official release window supposedly this year, but there's no official release date for this game. And I said this whenever we were playing the closed beta, and I'll say it for the open beta. It feels pretty done. So I'm pretty confident that this is going to come out and do pretty well. It was getting absolutely insane numbers on Steam, like 131,000 concurrent players for the open beta, and that's just on Steam. That's not PlayStation, that's not Xbox. So for a beta, for a game that's not out, I feel like that is pretty good, especially from a new IP. So really, really good. The gunplay feels amazing. Obviously, that's like the core of the entire experience. I don't know what engine they're using or what the experience level is of the studio that's making it, but it feels really good, and I feel like that's super important for a competitive shooter. And out the box, it's feeling real good. So really looking forward to this. It's going to be free. Obviously, there's going to be monetization. There's going to be a battle pass. I know that factually because there's already a battle pass in quotes in the betas. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it, and there's no barrier to entry. So I was having fun just checking it out, and I'm definitely interested in, you know, the full release.
I'll be interested to see if what kind of devices, computers specifically, it can run on. I know it'll run obviously on,
remember,
at least current gen hardware. I was going to say, because granted, we only had like, I don't know, three or four maps and two game modes, but I think the download was 6 gig. And it
Which is crazy because it looks good.
Or 12 somewhere in there, and it looks really good. And I had all the settings on max, and I was never not like that. And my computer's decent, but it's definitely not like I never have a frame drop. I never have to turn down a setting. Like I always have to turn that stuff down at least a notch on my current build. So, Dave, you might be able to check it out with us on your PC, or you know, maybe you can go to Xbox and play with us, fulfill your abandoned New Year's resolution.
But that's it.
Dave, what have you been playing? Yeah.
Few things. I said I wouldn't talk about this anymore, but just quickly, Assassin's Creed Mirage, I got the platinum earlier this week.
Nice.
So that was cool. An Assassin's Creed platinum in 26 hours. I like that. I think there should be more of that.
Real quick. Sorry. You said 26 hours. My Spider-Man 2, Brandon, to go back to your conversation last week. My Spider-Man 2 Platinum, the final amount
probably
of hours
gonna be
30. Was 26.
I was fucking around.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. All right. Sorry, Dave.
It also feels weird to have, like, own an Assassin's Creed game for me and literally have nothing more to do in it. I could start a new game, but I don't want to. But, like, there's nothing, no more missions, no more collectibles. It's interesting. It's a weird feeling for me because I've never played the shit out of an Assassin's Creed game before, so it's pretty cool. It's November, but it's that time of year when you know, the COD fever starts. I get this thing where I crave a competitive first person shooter, but I don't want to play Call of Duty. So I jump back into Halo Infinite multiplayer a little bit, and obviously a lot of people have been talking about it lately because Season 5 Reckoning has been fairly well received. So yeah, it felt like a good time to jump in and check it out. And I have not played a lot of Infinite since it launched. I have kind of been like the Halo Infinite apologist. It's good. I don't know what the big deal with Reckoning is, but that's not to say it's bad. I'm just like, again, I haven't been keeping up with it. So all of the quality of life changes since I last play it, I probably don't notice as much, but it still feels great. I mean, Halo Infinite is classic Halo. Long time to kill, a lot of jumping, a lot of lobbing, a lot of grenades at people, and that's what you get with Halo Infinite. There are new maps, and all the maps feel great. They look great. They all are conducive to, you know, that style of multiplayer that you and gunplay that you get with Halo. So yeah, and it's free to play. You don't even need Xbox Live or Game Pass or anything. You can just jump in and start playing Halo. So yeah, it's been fun. I want to keep playing it. I'm not really grinding out the Battle Pass or anything. It's there and I get rewards. The one thing that is bothering me about the Battle Pass is this season's rewards like go for a little while, and a lot of them are Halloween themed, which is weird because Halloween's over and I don't really need pumpkins and stuff like that anymore. So
you have a little about next year.
Exactly.
When you're still playing.
I should be thinking longer term. You're right, Ben.
Yeah.
But yeah, otherwise, if you're thinking about jumping into Halo, it still feels great in my opinion. And, you know, it's not taking long to find servers or anything like that. So, yeah, it's a good time.
Dave, I agree. I don't think I mentioned it on the show, but the day that Season 5 dropped, I think that night and two nights after it, I jumped in and played some more Halo Infinite. And it was really just like a 2 a.m. I'm still awake kind of thing. And I played for, you know, probably 5 or 6 hours total across those three nights. But I had a great time. I never, none of us ever said Halo was a bad game. It just has had some rough spots. So hopefully, I mean, hopefully it can do some good numbers and keep it up. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah, no, it's going to be around for a long time, and it's since it's come out, it's a game that I enjoy popping into for a few days here and there, and I feel instantly pretty good at it. I think that just means there's good matchmaking because I know I'm not that good, but yeah, it's fun and it is nostalgic, so that feels nice. I'll just talk about this briefly because I literally played one match before we started recording today, but Aliens Fireteam Elite is one of the PlayStation Plus games of the month. I saw this and I was instantly excited to check it out, so I downloaded it and played, again, one match. And I'm looking forward to playing a little bit more, but I from that one match, it did feel a little cheap for a licensed Aliens game, but as we know, Aliens hasn't had the best luck when it comes to video games. Yeah, it's just three-player co-op. It's largely horde-based. You're working through, you know, small derelict ships and stuff like that, and there's aliens coming out everywhere. I think the tone feels pretty good, and there is some cool stuff, you know, different loadouts, and there's a lot of different character classes that you can choose from with different abilities. So, yeah, I played with two random guys, and we had a good time. But yeah, I'm looking forward to playing that a little bit more. If you guys are interested in picking in checking it out, I would love to jump in with you guys.
Yeah, I'll check it. I have access to it, so we might as well.
Because I suspect that's the kind of game where playing with actual friends really enhances the experience. So yeah. But
yeah, do you have any?
Damn, dude.
Real friend? No, just you.
Yeah. Let me know if you haven't, if you find any, because I don't have any either. So.
But yeah, that's it for me. I will say I still don't have Mario Wonder, and I've been so looking forward to playing my Switch that I bought Metroid Dread week, and it's coming in the mail. I bought it off eBay to save a couple bucks. So really looking forward to playing Metroid Dread, and hopefully I can talk about that next week. So yeah.
What if it and Mario Wonder come on the same day?
We should Metroid Dread first.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I've had my eye on that game for a long time.
Yeah. For me, I mentioned I finished up Spider-Man 2, got the platinum on that. Great experience. Had a great time. I don't think I need to talk any more about it. Mario Wonder, same as it was before, and still having a great time, still progressing through, picking it up, you know, pretty much every night for at least a level or three, and enjoying it. Having a great time playing Mario 2D in 2023. It never gets old, and hopefully AI never makes it. And then the other thing I've been playing, I've probably got six-ish hours into it at this point, is Alan Wake 2. And you guys will remember when they announced they were going to do, I was calling for like a remake of Alan Wake for forever. I was calling for a remaster. Then they did a remake and I was like, oh, cool. Then I didn't play it. I played like a couple hours of it and I was like, oh, yeah. OK, I remember because I played the heck out of it as a, you know, not as a kid, but in 2010. And then I was like, they need to just do Alan Wake 2. This one seems dated to me. And they announced it. And I was like, oh, OK. And then it got closer and closer and I was just like uninterested. And then I knew I was going to play it eventually. I was like, you know what? There's no time like the present. I'm just going to play it now or else it's going to get lost and everything else. So I've been playing Alan Wake 2 and I'm not quite ready to say that it's blowing my mind, but I will tell you that in my first 5 or 6 hours, it is very, very good. I am enjoying it a lot. A lot of the mechanics are really cool. The atmosphere is like the perfect amount of terrifying and humor at the same time that it's really like hitting a nice spot. And it's cool to see like what's happening in Alan Wake's head, if you even really know what's happening in his head. And there are two playable characters in this. You play also as Saga, who is an FBI agent, and she is investigating a case. And somehow Alan's involved and they're trying to figure it out at this point in the story. And they end up meeting and, you know, things go crazy from there. So I'm having a great time with it. Definitely gonna pound it out probably over the next week or two. I think it's probably only 15 or 20 hours long, if I had to guess. But I have to say, like, there have been a couple things where I'm like, oh, like, that's cool. Or that mechanic. Like I very rarely audibly do anything, laugh, smile, or I guess I, you don't really audibly smile, but I very rarely like do anything expressive. And I've caught myself a few times while playing it being like, oh, like exasperated kind of sound. So I'm having a good time with it. Again, I'm not ready to say like, oh, this is, you know, this is the best game ever. This is blowing me away. But yeah, I think it's probably going to end up in that, you know, top dozen or so games for me for the year and probably towards the top of that. So it's been really good so far, and I'm glad I jumped into it when I did. And yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do next, but that's what I'm doing right now. And that's it. That's all we got for the show. Normally, we like to stick around and talk about whatever with chat for a little while. I don't think we're going to be able to do that tonight. Some of us have to get going and do a few other things, but we appreciate you being here. If you're here live in chat while we're recording, remember, you can catch us at Ben is Handsome YT on YouTube Tuesday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern. And the show goes live for patrons, $1 and up, on Wednesdays. And then Thursdays, it comes out on free feeds for audio listeners if you did not catch the video. Appreciate everybody being here. Dave, Brandon, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for talking about video games. Make sure you don't leave before we get your files uploaded. And I guess we'll see you guys next time. Take care and good night. The HP Podcast is made possible by our patrons over at patreon.com/handsomephantom. The following patrons are at the $5 level or above. Toby Ryland, Edward Walton, Josh Cummings, Jared, Poot, Boots, Passive Pixels Edwin Castillo, Maurice Bays, H-Trons, Nuke Dukem, Derek O, Rainick, Christian Snow, Grabalicious, Benji Bop, and Johnny Waffles.